accession number 17349, reel 1.
31. Where were you born, please?
In Lowestoft.
Which year was this?
1933.
Did you have your schooling in Lowestoft?
Yes, although it was interrupted during the war years.
In what way was it interrupted?
Well, I was evacuated at the beginning of the war and subsequently came back home again during, well, 42, I think it was.
Do you remember which day you were evacuated?
I can't really say.
Was it right at the after the war declaration?
Yes, when they moved all the children out from Lowestoft.
So did you go with a school party?
Yes.
What was the name of your school?
Morton Road School.
Where were you evacuated to?
Glossop, in Derbyshire.
Can you describe the journey?
Not very well.
Were you upset about it?
No, not as far as I can recall. Seemed like an adventure, having never been away from home before.
Did your parents see you off?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Did they seem to be upset?
No, not particularly. I'm probably glad to get rid of us for a break.
How did you travel?
By train.
And can you tell me about the family you were billeted with?
Well, we were billeted with several people because I was with two brothers, and I think they tried to keep us together, but of course that was impossible. But the eldest brother went off on his own, and I stayed with my next eldest brother for the rest of the time we were there. But we were put with an old couple who neglected us, and we weren't really old enough to keep ourselves clean or disciplined. And consequently, the billeting officer came around one day and walked straight in the house, grabbed all our things, chucked them in a bag, took our washing off the line, bundled us into a car and drove around until he found another lodging for us.
Were you aware that you were being neglected?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because we could be out at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, go home straight to bed, you know, without washing. And I suppose the people at the school which we attended must have made some kind of complaint.
Were they kind to you? Or?
Oh, definitely kind, yeah. Yes, definitely kind. The old chap, he was in his 60s, I think. Although he was still working on account of the war. His wife was a hunchback. He had served in the Boer War. And he had a row of medal ribbons on his mantelpiece, you know, in a glass case. I think there was 7 or 8 he had.
Were they just not interested in children?
Well, they could have been money motivated. But they were very kind, but I say they just gave us a free will, you know, to do as we wished.
Did you misbehave?
Not as far as I can recall, no.
Did you get proper food?
That I can't really recall. It would probably eat anything they gave us. I mean, I really can't recall what type of food it was. I can't recall being hungry.
Where did you go to next?
What, in Glossop? Well, we're put in a temporary accommodation overnight where some large lady promptly put us in a bathtub and scrubbed us and gave us some clean clothing, put us up for the night. In the morning we were off again until we ended up with another fairly old couple who were, he was a church warden, I believe, very religious. And we attended church on Sundays three times, morning, Sunday school, and then evening. And he was also a caretaker of the small church school, and every chair would be moved out, which we moved out into the playground, which we then made a scrub. All the chairs, desks, everything. But did us no harm, mind you. Of course, we were kept very clean and orderly then and forbidden to go anywhere near the former lodgings, which was only about half a mile away.
Was this the Church of England?
No, I believe they were Methodist.
How did you like it with this family?
Well, say we were well fed, kept clean, and strict supervision, mind you, but we found them, well, fairly easygoing, but I say it was entirely different from the previous place.
How did your schooling fare in Glossop?
Well, I think it must have suffered quite a bit because the influx of children into the town meant that 1 week we'd school from 8 to 12, I believe, and then the next week from 1 till, I don't know, maybe 5 o'clock.
Did you have to share premises with another school? Share the buildings with another school?
Not that I can recall. The actual school children were, who were there previous, the local children, I think we were segregated into our classes, and then the local children attended in their own class, if you can follow what I mean.
How did the lower-staffed children get on with the Glossop children?
Fairly well, as far as I can recall. They, I can't really define any difference apart from the dialect of how, you know, the terms they used and terms we used, but initially it was a bit strange, but we later became more or less the same as those, even using, you know, their type of language, if you know what I mean.
What kind of dialect words did you pick up?
Everything, some which we couldn't understand and asked about, and I can't recall any at the moment, except for if you were being out of sorts with them, you'd be called Marty, which I should imagine has some relation to the Marty of Sudan, you know, Khartoum and all that. And
so what would low-staff bodies use for the same thing?
I don't know, grumpy, riled.
So you didn't divide into two tribes?
No, no. No, we eventually all intermingled and got on quite well.
Was there any bombing in Gloucester?
No, none at all. They never had a siren, as far as I can recall.
Did you get homesick?
No, only apart from one time when I was sent to a cottage-style hospital with a very bad whooping cough, where I was force-fed greens, which at the time I didn't eat. I recall this rather large nurse forcing spoonfuls of cabbage into me and me bringing it up again onto the plate, which she promptly fed back into me again.
Did you have any contact with home?
Yes, I think my mother would write to the people we were with and send occasional small packages of, you know, clothing and sweets, although not very many.
Did your parents visit you in Gloucester?
They did. And they came again, and we went back with them. Said we're unhappy and we wanted to go back to Gloucester. So I believe we came back in 42.
Were you really unhappy, or was it not true?
Well, I thought it was probably an opportunity to get home, to get away from a bit of a semi-rigid discipline.
When you returned to Lowestoft, did you experience any of the bombing there?
Oh yeah, definitely. We were bombed out on one occasion.
What happened?
The houses, let's see, one, two, three, four, about six houses up the road were completely destroyed. They dropped a stick of bombs across three roads, including the main London road, and of course the it damaged the house, you know, the cracks appeared, and so we consequently moved to another house.
What was the address of the house that was damaged?
I really can't recall it. Because we hadn't been there long, and when this raid came in, 507
London Road.
Yeah.
On London Road itself?
On London Road itself, yeah. Just, the bombs landed just nearly opposite the cemetery, Kirkley Cemetery. About 25 yards north of the cemetery gate. And we then moved to 574 London Road.
Where were you when this stick of bombs dropped?
In the shelter. Air raid shelter. In the back garden.
Your own private shelter?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody had one, didn't they? An Anderson shelter.
What was it like in that?
Pretty damp, cold.
Did you feel confident about being protected in it?
No, not at all. I think they were designed just to stop the house rubble falling onto if it happened to get hit.
Were there times when you didn't use the shelter but stayed in the house?
Yeah, very often.
Why was that?
Well, I had an older brother who was working in the town, and he was also in the home guard and had to do things. And when the siren went, he would say, "I'm not getting out of bed and going down there, I'm staying in bed." Well, I was sleeping with him at the time because we had quite a houseful, and I'd say, "Well, I'll stay in with you," whereas the rest of the family would go to the shelter.
How frightened were you of the bombing?
Well, I don't think I was really frightened at all. It was, I had an older sister who used to get quite hysterical, and I think on one occasion she scared everybody, if you know what I mean.
What was she saying?
Oh, she said, "The house has been hit, I can hear the bricks falling." Well, we had a fairly large garden, bit of an apple orchard, and just behind there were stables where they kept horses. Well, bombs had fallen within, 400 or 500 yards on this other occasion, and the Pegfield Church was burning, and the smoke happened to be coming our way, and I suppose the horses were panicking, and of course they were kicking the floor and the walls and that, and I should imagine my sister thought they were the sound she could hear of the bricks falling. But there was also on the golf course a battery of 3.7 AK guns plus boofers and that, and of course they'd be firing away, and it was a lot worse than what it was, or she made it out to be a lot worse than what it was. Because I suppose that induced a bit of fear into us all, with her being a bit hysterical.
Any other bombs that you remember falling on Lowestoft?
Oh, plenty. I think Lowestoft had the most air raid warnings in the whole country. The simple reason, the most of the German aircraft apparently used to come over East Anglia and then turn down to London instead of coming up through Kent. Well, that's according to the book I have anyway.
How did the Germans carry out the raids? What was their method?
Well, Lowestoft was a naval port at the time during the war. It was also where they would transfer sailors to various postings, and Lowestoft would be a holding area because there are so many places, hotels, where they could keep them in to where they were posted. And then, there wasn't a great many naval ships in the port, but plenty of sailors. So whether the attacks were after to try and wipe out some of the men or whatever, I don't know.
Would many planes come over at a time?
Well, during the night, I mean, it'd be hard to determine, but later on during the hit and run raids, when they're just coming at practically sea level, they'd shoot the place up and drop bombs as they went over and then turn around and shoot off back again.
Well, those daylight raids.
Daylight, yeah.
What kind of planes carried those out?
Well, there'd be the FW, the Fokker Wolf, and I used to be able to identify all the planes.
Did you ever see them come in, though?
Oh, yeah, several times. Because schooling was interrupted before we got back into school, and we spent a lot of time on the cliff. And the beach, which the parts we knew weren't mined or wired off.
Which part of the town did they seem to be heading for when they came in?
Well, for the centre, mostly, as far as I can recall.
And this was just an individual plane that would come in?
I think there'd be two or three on the hit-and-run raids.
Was there much opposition to the enemy planes?
Well, there was an ACAC site on the golf course about half a mile from where we lived, and various other ACAC units along the seafront, north and south. But I can't recall too many about. I know by the bridge there was a scaffolded tower, probably 40 feet high, with a Bofors gun on it, which seemed very precarious to me, but that's so they could probably shoot at them as they came in without hitting any of the surrounding buildings.
Did you ever see any of our planes go up against them?
I've seen dogfights, but they would be way up, above 10,000 feet.
How did public morale stand up in Lowestoft, do you think?
Well, I should think people became used to it and, didn't pay it too much attention. Apart from when there was any severe raid, but I say a heavy raid only came at night, as far as I can recall.
How did you feel about the German enemy? Did you feel any hatred towards them?
Well, yes. Everything was anti-German, of course.
What do you think the townsfolk would have done if they'd have got hold of one of the pilots?
I don't think there'd have been any lynching or anything, or any harm done. I mean, several aircraft did come down round about. I believe one Italian plane come down at Corton. Whether it was a fighter or a bomber, I don't know, but the pilot walked up to somebody and asked if he was in Deutschland. So, I don't think there'd been any harm done to downed pilots.
Do you remember any other buildings or streets that were hit in the Lowestoft area?
Well, several. We'd go out and look at the damage the following morning and just to have a look. I mean, I'd say I'd be about 9, 10 at the time, I believe. And, of course, we'd go in a gang and pick up shrapnel or bomb fragments in the road and spent machine gun cases and whatever.
Why did you collect it?
Just something we'd done.
What? Were there any particular things that you specially wanted to find?
No, not particularly, no.
Did you have any particularly good specimens that you collected?
Mm, Nothing out of the ordinary, I don't think. I know I had at one time several German cannon shell cases. We knew they were German because ours were a different type, you know. And, well, we knew which were which. But you'd find them and quite large pieces of bomb fragments, incendiary bombs, which were quite easily come by. I mean, a lot of them didn't explode, and I say we wouldn't touch them, of course, but there'd be fins, the tail fin of them laying about.
Did the adults try to discourage you from collecting this stuff?
No, not as far as I can recall.
Was the war a happy or an unhappy time for you?
I would say, basically, it'd be a happy time. I don't think we missed much in the way of rationing because, as I said, my father's a drift net fisherman and money was very scarce, so we didn't miss out on sweets because as they were rationed anyway, even prior to the war we never had an abundance of anything, so the shortfall the war made didn't make much impression on us.
Was this an exciting time for you?
I would say so, yes.
Any memories of VE Day in Lowestoft?
Well, apart from the street parties,
Now, can you tell me how you came to be in the army yourself after the war?
Well, I couldn't wait to get into the army. It seemed that nearly all the young people I knew wanted to get into the services. They'd either go into the army, navy, or air force as soon as they could, which at the time was 17 and a half. I got in contact with the recruiting office in Norwich, and but I was only 17 at the time. I thought I could probably get in a bit sooner, but it had to be 17 and a half. Although they sent a recruiting sergeant round, and he knocked on the door. My mother went to the door, saw him in his dress uniform, and promptly said, sorry, I haven't got any change, thinking he was Salvation Army, you know, on a collection round. But anyway, I went to the door, and he explained to me that I could submit all the details and everything, and then as soon as I became 17 and a half, they'd get in touch with me, and I'd go, which is what happened.
Was this to be a regular or a national service?
Regular.